WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, welcome to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Wow, wow, wow. We're going to March 20th and 21st. First day of spring. The spring equinox is here. We have a really jammed show. I'm up to the second with topics. So grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. It is springtime.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
When you place a wager with William Hill Sportsbook, every sports moment becomes even more interesting. And we have a special offer to help you bet on all your favorite sports, risk-free. Download the William Hill mobile app, and when you sign up, you can get started with a risk-free bet of up to $500. Use promo code RADIORF.
Must be present in New Jersey. 21 plus only. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 800GAMBLER.org.
Let's make it interesting with William Hill Sportsbook.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Yo, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of March 20th and 21st already. Beware the Ides, man. Oh, first weekend of spring that has broken out. You're tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. on Talk Radio, WPG 95.5 FM and WPG 1450 AM. Streaming live on SLOT, WPG1450.com. And from 7 to 8 a.m., you're locked in a 50,000 mega far-reaching watts of terrestrial radio on 97.3 ESPN FM. Streaming live, 97.3ESPN.com. Download the WPG Talk Radio app to get the podcast, or just go to my blog on WPG, Cat Country, or ESPN. Okay, this past week, it's all about striped bass and the circle hook. Do you want to call it a controversy? Do you want to call it, a controversy? Or what exactly is the law? Again, a lot of things flying back and forth. Joining us on the line right now, very special guest on Rack and Fin Radio is Tom Foti. He is the governor's appointee to the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, legislative chairman, Jersey Coast Anglers Association, and New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs. And as he flies a third or fourth or fifth hat, the Marine Fishing Advisory Council for the Secretary of Commerce. When this man sleeps, eats, or does whatever, we have no idea, but he is omnipresent at these fisheries meetings. Hey, Tommy, how's it going, man?
It's going fine. I mean, it's as long as you can put up with aggravation, it's going fine.
When we spoke the other night on the phone, I could hear it coming through the phone. In fact, my lovely Dee Marie said, "That must be Foti." I said, "Yeah, there he is." See, this whole thing, we have two segments here, Tom. We got in 20 minutes, half hour, whatever. What is going on? What's happening?
Okay, we basically decided that you should use circle hooks when you're bait fishing, and we all assumed that we were talking about bunker chunks, whole bunker, and things like that on the striped bass, because you're basically, we don't want them gut hooked. But then we get into the controversy of what do you do with lures that you basically put bait on. It's like up in Massachusetts and up in Maine, and I guess somewhere here, they troll what they call these tube lures, and they put sandworms on it. Well, that's a bait. And then we didn't know what bait was. So was bait bucktail? Because two of the definitions would qualify bucktails. So you couldn't fly fish with a fly because it's got bucktail or got feathers in it or something like that. You couldn't put pork rind. Maine, you can't put pork rind on a bucktail because that's the way their law is written.
Right.
So we're trying to get some uniformity in the laws. And so they set up this working group to basically do this, and they handle the issues pretty good. I thought they try to take a fair look at it. The definition that comes out now that the board voted on was to allow the use of bucktails and allow the use of pork rind. And actually, they gave a break to the tube lures because they said you can put sandworms on a tube lure. So that's another
thing.
But again, we wound up in the problems. What do you do with rigged eels? And they kind of, they had no sympathy for the real rigged eel people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a guy that used to rig 200 or 300 rigged eels a year. I still have the needle. I still have all the, the thread or the hooks that we put in it. And it's the tin squids to mount them on. And the tin squid, you could probably use a circle and the tail hook, but in the hook that's right on the 10 is a J hook, and I don't have any moles to basically do 10 squid with a circle hook.
Right.
So that's going to eliminate. They didn't deal with the issue of, well, some of us old timers remember their skin plugs. We used to take the eel skin and put it over an Atom 40 or something like that, or a big creek chub, to make it swim in the water better.
Tom, can I interrupt you for a second? The first time and I ever saw that, I was still wearing one of the first Shimano shirts. Remember those hot bicycle shirts? I was probably 150 pounds lighter in Hobbit. And I ran into a guy at Mantaloking, and I swore I saw him in Race Sports Up way back when. A guy named Milt Roscoe.
Oh, yes. Milt.
And Milt had big, tall guy. He looked like something from, I guess, I don't know, the, what was that, Sleepy Hollow. Probably 6'3", real tall, thin, worked for Budweiser. And he gave me a brief but very effective tutorial on that. And I said, wow, and I haven't seen it since.
Well, there's also, I have bucktails in my box. I dug them out the other day that have a hole in the middle. So you can tie the eel skin into the bucktail.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, so now we've just eliminated that from the fishery. Okay. Most of those, and anybody that's fished those knows that you don't gut hook those fish on those types of rigs. You're basically setting the hook right away.
Right. Yeah.
And so we got this all passed, and then they wanted to deal with incidental catch. And this is when we get crazy. I mean, let's be honest. These rules are only going to be in effect and enforced if we trusted in the rules to really do something and we trust each other to do this. And if we have no confidence in the rules, law enforcement becomes a nightmare, because really what works on the recreational sector is peer pressure. I mean, when we used to...
Absolutely correct. Hey, yeah, yeah.
I mean, when you wouldn't keep an illegal striped bass 15 years ago, because everybody would turn you in, or basically because we were protecting the striped bass. Now you keep an illegal striped bass, everybody turns their heads. The same thing with summer flounder, the same thing with a whole bunch of species, because they have no trust in the regulations.
Tom, I was just going to say that that's regulation doubt driven, because what the F? We're doing this, we've given up this, we've given up that, we're doing this, acquiescing here and there, and we're still getting screwed.
Yeah, I mean, and we do things because one sector has more power than another sector. And what seems to be driving this last couple of years on striped bass is the people that do catch and release. So they want a lot of big fish that they can catch and release, and that's the way they think. And they says, we have a problem because there's not as many big fish as they basically saw. Well, you and I know what happened during the 80s and the 90s. We had a moratorium.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, every state had a moratorium except New Jersey and Massachusetts. And so these fish grew huge. And when we first opened it, because we were all concerned about, like, Jersey Coast, instead of doing a fluke tournament, our first tournament, we never did one. We did a striped bass tournament. We did a fluke tournament because we didn't want to fish on fluke. I mean, striped bass. I've been on 4 meetings today. So
Denise Marie said when I came in the other night, she says, wow, what happened to you? I said, I've been fodeized, man. I've been to three meetings. I said, and that guy's that's only one third of his day.
So basically, we did these regulations because we were going to protect the fish, and nobody was capping the meat. When we basically started raising the size limit on all the other fisheries and making them difficult to catch and take fish home to eat, and the striped bass were all over the place,
right. People
became a striped bass fisherman. You know, if you were a striped bass fisherman 30 years ago, you were out in the middle of the night throwing eel skin plugs or live eels and hanging on jetties and fishing live herring. But now all you had to do is go out in the boat and snag a bunker and drop it, and you were going to catch a bass. And guys were catching huge amounts of bass and a lot of big bass. But if you start catching, you start harvesting, because you can't take flounder home to eat anymore because you got to go through 30 fish to get a keeper.
Right.
So people get disgusted with flounder fishing. Black sea bass, we close the season down all the time. Tautog, the same thing. And even now with scub, which we don't really need to do, they put restrictions on scub. So
on
people
the porgies?
Talking shrimp. Yeah. I mean, you know, when we got into this argument, when they first put the plan in place 96, and I was there, and they basically took 9% of the recreational catch away from us. And this was the only species they did that, because I have the records and I have the articles I wrote in 96 when they did this. And they gave it to the commercial guys because they were going to eliminate their bycatch. Well, they still haven't eliminated their bycatch. And yet now we have a quota that's 9% less than we should be. And actually, it's about 20% less than we should be. And now they were talking about a year and a half ago restricting the hell out of us. So that becomes a difficult. But going back to the striped bass, because I get sometimes go up on transits. I mean, so we got into rebuilding the. So when everybody started fishing it, yes, they started fishing the stock, the big fish stocks down. And so a guy couldn't go out with a fly rod and catch 20 big fish in a day. And he says, oh, the stocks are in trouble. Or because they were doing beach replenishment and we screwed up the whole inshore fishery and then we start getting warm water in the bays. A lot of things are combining that. The fish are staying further offshore in the colder water. And they make the beeline from Massachusetts straight down to sometimes to North Carolina or out on the off the coast of New Jersey. They don't come for the mullet runs anymore. Remember when we were fishing years ago, when a mullet run started, you were on the beach because you knew the beach.
Absolutely, yeah.
They're no longer there. They don't follow the mullet run. And even the bluefish don't follow the mullet run anymore because the water's so damn warm, they're offshore. So we wind up all this oil. Everybody starts panicking. But the fish stocks that we have are still in great shape compared to what they were in the 80s.
Yeah.
But they're just not seeing the big ones. So now they want to put all these restrictions. So that's how we wound up with the 28 to 38 and things like that. And that means if the guy catches the one fish of his lifetime, then wants to put that 50 or 60 pounder and take it home and get the pick. Can't do that anymore. So we
were Tom, that's to me is where the cross purpose thing is. Is I've spoken to guys and I said, you get that fish, take a photo, get a glass. No, I actually caught this fish as opposed to, screw that, man. You're killing all the big breeders, and we don't need people like you. This is all, and I find out most of those are, for lack of a better term, guides, charter captains, catch and release, who are strictly into, we want the opportunity for, Tommy, they always couch it in the children, for our kids to be able to catch a striper. Well, there's a lot of stripers around. So why can't you work with this?
When I made striped bass a game fish in New Jersey, worked 2 years of my life.
I remember that. Yeah.
I mean, I had that not just for the catch and release fishermen, but for the subsistence fishermen that wanted to take something home to eat. And what I always said, it was the inshore game fish. I mean, a lot of guys don't go on boats because they either get sick or they really don't want it. They're a surf fisherman. But it allowed them to break a world record right from the beach, like Atlantic City, like, what's his name, Reynolds. Basically, I mean, so basically that's...
Excuse me, listeners, he said the seasick thing for my benefit. Fody knows me.
So it basically, now we've got... So I'm looking at some of these regulations we're putting in, and then I wind up really taking a deep look at it. One of the things we wanted was dropping snag, but we still allow blue fishing for dropping a snag. So the guys that catch and release, they're going to sit on the beach, and the bunker out there, and the big striped bass, because they're not looking to take anything home. They just want to hook fish.
Right.
So they're throwing those bunker snags out, snagging the fish, and letting it drop until a bluefish hits it. And if a striped bass hits it, well, they'll just bring it in and release it. If a bluefish, they could actually keep it, but they're going to release the bluefish because most of them don't like to eat fish anyway.
Sure.
So the rules are not going to accomplish what we're doing, but we're putting a lot of penalties in place.
Okay.
I can live with that. But when you start saying that all of a sudden they say, now we have to do this incidental catch. That was never discussed in the amendment. When
really?
We went out to public hearings, we never told people that we were going to restrict the incidental catch because we haven't done that on any species I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
If a fish is legal to catch and you're out fishing with summer flounder with a hook and a squid on it, and you catch a bluefish or you catch a porgy, you're allowed to keep it.
Sure.
Now, if you're on the beach fishing a mullet rig, and everybody I know once in a while fishes a mullet rig because it's one of the best producers for bluefish, but it also catches striped bass.
Hey, Tommy, let me interrupt. Listen, Big Creek, Radio Road, going into Osborne Island, right, the bridge all the way out to the point there. You drift a big, fat, nasty-ass bloodworm or sandworm looking for the weak fish under a bobber float, whatever. I use the Tommy, you know, the tapered floats, not a bobber, the big. And, whoa, I got to let it go?
Yeah, you got to let it go.
I mean a 28, Tommy, to 30-inch bass on a J-hook. Got to let it go.
You take your 8-year-old great-nephew or you have maybe grandchildren or something, you take them to the beach and they sit there for 4 hours. and they kind of take catch a fish, and a fish of a bluefish, but they catch a striped bass on a mullet rig. You're going to sit there and tell the kid, and it's a 25, well, maybe a 30-inch fish, 40-inch fish. Well, that, you couldn't keep that either, but a 38-inch fish, okay?
Sure. Yeah.
Biggest fish the kid ever saw. And, you know, he says, we're going to bring this home for dinner. He says, and we're going to tell him, no, you can't because you didn't catch it on the right hook.
On the right hook. Hey, T, listen, I'm up against Heartbreaker and hanging with some good Tom Foti.
Sure.
He is the governor's appointee, Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, legislative chairman, Jersey Coast Anglers Association, New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen Clubs. Ad infinitum. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. We'll be right back. Another segment, Tom Foti. Tommy, hang in there. Be right back.
Okay.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
This is how you get a premium cup of coffee. Better and faster than the drip, drip, drip method. And way better than a large urn of lukewarm coffee made who knows when. At Royal Farms, our new Swiss-made coffee machines grind fresh, premium beans on the spot and then brew them one cup at a time for the freshest, most flavorful cup of premium coffee you can buy. This is Royal Farms coffee. It's better because it's the freshest coffee in the world. Real fresh, real fast. Royal Farms.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of March 20th and 21st. Join us online, very special guest, Tom Foti. I've known Tommy for, let's see, about going on 2+ decades. He is the paramecium, to me, the paramecium of fisheries, management, meetings, opinions, the whole bit. He is everywhere. We are talking about the striped bass. This new circle hook regulations, the mandates, and the particulars going involved with it. Sorry, T, I get too involved with you, man. How's it going?
Good. Well, here's where we are right now.
Go.
New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council and the state has to implement these regulations. The good news is they're not going to get in right away because it's going to take time to process them. So when the governor's surf fishing tournament on the 23rd, so I watched this 10-year-old landing a striped bass on a mullet rig. This year he's going to be able to keep it. Next year he will not. And that's when I'll basically get upset and I'm going to see this. You know, it just, I wouldn't mind if this would accomplish something. But you're letting the people do the catch and release. You're letting people, if you want to protect the striped bass, you should shut the summer fishery down in the bays and estuaries. Now, I know a lot of guys will be mad at me, but they'll be mad at me anyway, no matter what I say. But that's when the hook and release, the mortality on striped bass become the greatest. Because if the water temperature is above 80 degrees, the air temperature is above 80 degrees, and there's the salinity, if you're in a drought year and the salinity is low, the hook and release mortality can be about 30%.
Well, funny, let me play devil's advocate. A shout out to Dick Wood, H.C. Wood Advertising, you know, Tommy, our history.
Yeah.
We wouldn't go out until, predicated on tide, until at least 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and Dick Wood would say, by 3 o'clock in the morning, we're done. I said, yeah, but Dick, look at him under the drag channel, bridge, you're banging up. No, we're done. So what about that angle? The catch and release, water's cool, so.
The air temperatures, the sun is not boiling on the water, and the air temperature, the cooler it is, and you release the fish, the less strain you're putting on it. The other thing, if you want to basically fish for striped bass, and you know you're going to catch and release, no light tackle. No 6-pound test, no 8. Well, I like to see the fish fight. Or we have a good friend that said a big article last year about how long it took him to land his striped bass, his 40-pounder.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just a 17-pound test. You shouldn't be doing that because that fish was stressed for 40 minutes. And even though you think it's alive when you release it, it's probably going to die because that's how much stress you put on a fish. Even in the cold water, that's a lot of...
Tommy, like, listen to me. I've spoken to biologists, sharks, whatever, from Florida to Maine, also in California. I mean, you're right. The bigger the fish, it seems. And same thing with salmonids. Those are big. They get the big breeder trout. I'm going to let it go. That after a 5-10 minute, that thing, Tom, is about 50-50 going to croak?
It's in the smaller the fish, the better chance of survival. The saltier the water, the better chance of striped bass survival. The lower the water, air temperature, the better striped bass survival. So, but if you're fishing in the summertime, and that's been talked about in the Chesapeake Bay, and it's talked about in all the bays. The problem is down in the Chesapeake Bay, that's the only thing the guys have to fish for anymore. Perch, catfish, and striped bass, because the bluefish are gone, because the water quality and the water temperature is too high for the bluefish to go in anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we don't, what we're doing is we're chasing away anglers. You know, one of the things that, you know, when I started fishing, when I was, you know, by myself with 11 and 12 years old, when I used to walk the girders under the Marine Parkway Bridge, because I was in Brooklyn, we take the bus, two buses to get all the way down and walk on the end of the bridge in the girders, and we had to chase the rats to get through there because they were running the girders too. And I catch, a pail full of porgies, and they were called sandy porgies because they were all about
sand porgies. Yeah.
And I throw them in the bucket, fight the rats, get back, take two buses, go home, give them to my mother, and she would cook them. There was no ice on them, so they were a little tangy, but they were good.
Yeah, right.
These kids can't do that. Because you can't even catch, we're also making crooks out of fishermen, and we shouldn't be doing that.
Tom.
We shouldn't make it to keep a legal fish, or even on this, because you know guys that catch some on a squid, and they're fishing summer flounder on a regular J hook or English hook, and they're going to basically pull this fish in, and they're going to say, I ain't giving it back. And if there's nobody around, they're going to throw it in the cooler. So now they're starting to break the law. And once you start down that slippery slope, you don't expect any of the
Tommy, let me ask you this. I love you dearly. You know my political proclivities. I know yours. But the catch and release, save the fish, catch and release, that is mostly from the progressive Democrat, Trout Unlimited, Strippers Unlimited, whatever, the McMurrays, whatever. That mindset.
A lot of Republicans, too.
Okay, fine. But fine. But that mindset. How do you combat that? What's wrong with me, or my lovely Dee Marie, or you, or your lovely Linda, taking a bass to go home to eat? I mean,
there's nothing wrong with it at all.
Yeah.
There's plenty of fish to do that.
Right.
And as long as you conserve it, we've had some of the greatest Young of the Year indexes in the last 5 years. I mean, we had the fourth highest, and was it the fourth highest and the eighth highest in the last over 70-year period? And all of a sudden, it's like Chicken Little running around, the sky is falling. Yes, we're not going to have what you had in the 90s, but the 90s was artificially great because we had a moratorium and nobody was taking fish home to eat.
Right.
And also there was no striped bass fishing because we were all fishing for some of the people that eat
for
fish.
For fluke, we were all fluking, yeah.
Tautog, scub, blowfish. I mean, that's what they were fishing for. I used to go, friends, I don't fish for striped bass. I don't want to eat them because they don't taste good. Now, I always thought striped bass tastes better than summer flounder. I liked it better than summer flounder. But, and so they just don't. And they come from a different school. We grew up because we ate what we couched because I was Catholic, so Friday we had to have fish. So
fish,
we went out
right?
to party.
Oh, yeah.
And it justified the money you spent on the trip because you're bringing home for fish for you and your neighbors. When I first had my boat, I was bringing bluefish and feeding five neighbors with the bluefish I bring in. Until I realized they were loaded with PCBs and I was poisoning them. And people are not going to like I'm saying that.
Stop with that. I have a story to tell you off the air, Fody. When I was with fisheries on the Hackensack and Passaic Rivers, but that's for another time. Go ahead.
Okay. But we need to get sensible regulations. And on March 25th in New Jersey, again online, and there's also going to be hearings in all the states, and they're all online. So you can't make the 25th at 6 o'clock. You can do one of the public hearings in Connecticut because you're doing it online, so you don't have to travel.
Sure. Yeah.
Just go in and make your comments because commercial guys do it up and down the coast. They show up to every hearing, comment on every hearing. So we should be doing it as a recreational. And if you feel strongly that we should, as some of these regulations are not right, then maybe we should be basically harvesting more striped bass, or we should be treating it different reference points. I mean, striped bass has some of the highest reference points of any stock, so we have to have these numbers that we can't reach. Same thing with summer flounder. We have numbers that we never reach,
right. And
that's what they're shooting for, so we never relax the regulations. And with this environment, because of the forage species being in trouble, because of the hot water, because of beach replenishment destroying the environment and everything else, And then we one day we need to talk about the the fish having sexual problems. We need them to go to a sexual doctor because of the endocrine disruptors into their system.
LBGD, LMB, SMB, whatever.
It's endocrine disruptors. But we're affecting the stocks in that. And so the only thing we can manage is fishermen. So we take it out, and this is both commercial and recreational. We keep the catches low, and then with these stupid new MREPS numbers, I mean, we've been fighting, Jimmy Donofrio, me, Jersey Coast, RFA. We were in the fight long before RFA was even about, because we were yelling about these numbers in the 80s. And then RFA, we've all been fighting the numbers, trying to get better numbers. We had the 2006 Magnuson reauthorization, and they were supposed to get better MREP numbers. It took them till right now, and they were supposed to get it by 2007.
Right.
Well, they rolled these numbers out in 2018. All of a sudden, we're overfishing striped bass. All of a sudden, we're overfishing bluefish. All of a sudden, we're overfishing this and that. And then they go to summer flounder, and they say, oh, because of the numbers, we're going to increase the commercial catch by 49%. And we're going to say, but you're already catching those numbers. I don't know where we're catching those fish, because we're catching 25% of the fish we caught back then, because if the quota was the same as it was in 96, and the fish went from 1.5 pounds, 1.25 pounds, and actually it was 0.9 pound, is what we used to get.
Tommy, I remember in 90s, I found an old magazine that I used to write for, Fishing Game News or something like that, whatever. The 96 saltwater regulations on one page. What was it? 8 fluke at 16 inches?
10 fluke.
Or whatever. And there were plenty of fluke out there, probably tens of thousands of more fishermen. Everybody caught fish and brought home to eat. Now, right, with even the past, 10, 12 years, all these draconian regulations, and it's still a nightmare.
And what also happened back then is that we did not have the year class distribution. Remember, if we caught a 5-pound fish, it was considered a giant doormat, or maybe an 8-pound fish, especially in the late 80s into the 90s. Now they're catching 22-pounders once in a while. They're catching 10-pounders, 14-pounders. We almost gave away $50,000 because somebody almost had a 14-pounder. Oh, he caught a 14-pounder, but he wasn't registered into the plant. So he didn't win the $50,000.
Okay, Tommy, we're up against a hard break. One last one. We have, a minute or so left. T, what's happening? What do you think? How do people get involved? How do people make a difference?
Right now, you don't have to drive to a meeting. You just sit in your house, go on a webinar, learn how to do it, and tell people what you want. Because that's what's going on. This striped bass hearing that's coming up is to get your opinions on what we should put in the next amendment to the plan. So if you care about striped bass, get involved. And if you don't agree with me, say what you agree to, what you want. But that's your opportunity to do it. So in New Jersey, it's going to be March 25th at 6 p.m., and the information is in the Jersey Coast newspaper, or it's at the Division of Fish and Wildlife. They just sent out a response to this.
So,
and register. Register Saltwater Registry. Remember that.
And Fody, one last thing. When I show up, I'm bringing the Brajol and the Big Ziti. You have the wine and the bread. You got it?
What kind of wine you want? I got about. Right now, I have 7 cases of wine in the house. 8? No, 8 there. I haven't drank. Linda and I have not been drinking because of her heart. So we stopped drinking anything. So on this pandemic, I've only gone through 3 bottles of wine.
Well, Tommy, tell Lynn, the lovely Linda, I have a lot of heart, so I'll take up the slack.
Okay.
You take care of it, man. Give that JCA website, please.
It's www.jcaa.org.
Hey, Tommy, see you next week. See you, brother. Okay, be good. Bye. See you.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's number one talk station.
News, I'm Mary Corsetti. Former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago Club partially closed because of a COVID-19 outbreak.
A club receptionist confirmed it. The extent of the outbreak or how it's affecting the former First family weren't immediately clear. A person familiar with club operations said that out of an abundance of caution, the club had partially closed a section for a short period of time and quarantined some of its workers. Salji Andrasso, Fox News.
Meanwhile, several staffers at the White House may be polishing up their resumes because of past marijuana use.
Several staffers may be out of a job. job because of their past marijuana use, even in states where it's legal, likely because recreational use remains illegal under federal law. Press Secretary Jen Psaki confirming five staffers are no longer employed after a background check process was started. Several staffers claim they were told use of the drug would not automatically disqualify them from working in the White House.
Fox's Shannon Bream reporting. America is listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Overnight it'll be clear, brisk, and cold, low 29. During the day Saturday, plenty of sun, becoming milder, high 55. Clear on Saturday night, low 31. Sunday and Monday with plenty of sun. We're expecting highs of 56 Sunday and 57 on Monday. I'm AccuWeather's Kurt Babinski on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. You're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We're going to March 20th and 21st. You're tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. on Talk Radio WPG 95.5 FM and WPG 1450 AM, streaming live in that slot, WPG1450.com. And from 7 to 8 a.m., you're locked into 50,000 mega far-reaching ones at a Rack and Fin Radio message on 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live 97.3ESPN.com. Okay, Tom P., the podcast. People, thank you so much for these podcast records. This is going nuts. Greatly appreciate it. Took a bunch of years to get it going. Download the WPG Talk Radio app, then go to Rack and Fin Radio, or check my blog on ESPN or Cat Country 107.3, and go from there. It's embedded in the bottom. Okay, we have a lot of stuff going on April 1st. Again, opening of TOG season for the 1 month. Okay, Blackfish Rule. No. A Happy New Year, because you know Tom P. loves his South Jersey trout fishing. Now, again, next week we're going to have the state biologist in charge of the stocking. What's going on again with the COVID? Same thing as last year. It's a power load dumping, people, since, I guess, this past Tuesday or Wednesday through April, through March 30th, 31st, whatever. It's going to be loaded up all your South Jersey waters, except for the Toms River, Matitigonk, North Branch, and South Branch, and the Manasquan that are holdover. They're going to be stocked once more again in mid-May. It's a power load. Everything goes in. All, whatever the allocation is, go to njfishandwildlife.com and find out all these numbers. All those fish are going in. And then from April 1st to April 9th, catch and release only, which is fine. And then from April 10th on, you can keep whatever you catch. And believe me, these hatchery trout, some of them are up to 6-7 pounds, man. They got their mother load breeders in there. You got some lots of fighting, good eating. And what do we use? Okay, power bait. Okay, power bait. If you want to do the bait and weight, that's one thing. It's not really my thing. Okay, I lied to a degree. One rod's out with the power bait in a still water environment, especially. The other rod, I'm working a spinner. What is synonymous with trout and spinners? MEPS. Okay, Tom P. Yeah, but the MEPS, the treble hooks. Jesus, man, all the weeds down here. They seem to catch on weeds. And listen, we realize by the, first weekend in April, second weekend in April, the weeds are up. Ho, ho, ho. MEPS kicked ass last year with the introduction of its Comet Combo. I did mention a few times last year during the trout season, a single hook spinner with, check this out. You talk about double trouble. A Mr. Twister grub on a single hook. Trailing this, it is I call it a salmonicide lure, as in it kills every trout that sees it. Joining us online right now is Nick Colbeck. He is the communications manager for MEPS, a.k.a. Sheldon's. I finally tracked him down. This guy's all over the place. He's busy fishing, experimenting, doing whatever with the MEPS lures, finalizing these things to a T. Now we have him on Rack and Fin Radio with the season coming up. Nick, sorry, man. I get too excited. MEPS and Mr. Twister, you got to be kidding me, Colbeck. This is a limit maker across the board, dude.
Tom, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You know, it's something with Meps and Mr. Twister, two legendary brands. I like to tell people I'm living the dream, but, you know, maybe I am, actually. I don't know.
Hey, I'm living the dream. I'm talking to you, and I'm fishing every day. Well, Nick, this thing with the Meps and the comic combo, Meps again, treble hook, you have to size some models with the sidewash hook. What was the impetus to get, let's go with a single hook and get this Mr. Twister grub on there. Listeners, from the Black Fury size 0, the 1.5 inch, up to, God, if you want to really chase the big pickerel on a bass, up to size 4 inch tail, size 4. What got it going, Nick?
Well, you know, I think between Meps and Mr. Twister, they're both known for two legendary things. You have the Meps and the inline spinners, which obviously everyone's aware of. And then you also have, on the soft plastic side of the world, you have the Mr. Twister curly tail, which is another thing that changed the game in fishing altogether, honestly. I mean, pretty much any soft tail plastic you see out there on the market today is, honestly, because of what Mr. Twister was able to do in innovating that curly tail grub back in the day. So basically what we tried to do is we knew we had two legendary lures, so how could we combine this and make it, I guess you could say, the most successful lure possible? And one thing that we found is a lot of people love using our Meps inline spinners. Obviously, no surprise there. But what we did find was the people that like to use them around, like you said, weeds, rocks, lumber, timber, anything like that, well, they were getting a little bit caught up.
Sure.
So how could we make this, take it to the next step, make it more weedless, make it so you can fish it in even more places, more opportunities to use it? And we found that when we used a Mr. Twister keeper hook and we rigged the curly tail grub on top of that, not only do you have the Meps inline spinner, but now you have that double action with the curly tail. And, you know, like you said, it there's a lot of different fish species that are willing to hit it, but having that little bit of extra virtual weedlessness to it, it gives you a big advantage in the fishing game.
Now, Nick, explain that keeper hook. Listeners, way back when, 79 or 80, with the Hog Frog and the Mr. Twister keeper hook with that little barb that went right down the nose, we have this and this comic combo?
That is correct. So like you mentioned, with the keeper hook, you got the little bayonet to poke the curly tail grub in, keep it nice and situated in position, and then you're able to just nip hook that, or I'm sorry, not nip hook it, but barely get that point of the hook through the curly tail. It's virtually weedless, and it brings a lot more to the table when fishing.
Now, Nick, the field trials, the testing, your pro staff, you, I know you're a maniac fisherman. How long before you brought this to the table, to production, to whatever, and says, okay, let's do it. Let's get the financing. Let's do it. We've got the machining. Let's do it. Let's blend it together and get it done. How long? A year? 6 months? What?
You know, it's well over a year in the process. I mean, when you think about it, there's so many things that go into this. Not only are you trying to figure out what sizes you want to do, what colors you want to do, what components you want to use. I mean, there's a lot of it. So, I mean, to say a year, it goes really quickly in terms of developing new products. And then obviously you have to get it to your pro staff and have people test it out and get their opinion and, you know, work with the feedback that you got. So, I mean, it definitely takes some time. One thing, too, MEPS, before I was employed here, they used to have, I believe it was called the Comet Killer or the Combo Killer, and it's actually very similar to what you see with the current Meps Comet Combo. The biggest difference today, actually, is I believe there was a small handful of colors back in the day. Now we have up to 15 colors with that. Now we're trying to open it up to more and more people being able to fish it using the colors that they feel confident.
Hold on a second. Did somebody give him my notes here? Hey, I was just going to ask my next question with the colors. Colbeck, you're killing me here, man. I was going to ask you, I'm looking all across from the gold blade to the red and white to the silver blade to the fire tiger blade to the orange. I love orange. I call it Orange-A, the Meps Orange. Mary, Mother of God, what a killer blade. Coming up again with the tails to match the blades. Who did that?
You know, it's almost kind of a combined team effort at this point. Not one person at MEPS decides it. We try to take a team effort with it, get multiple opinions, and then, you know, with that, we try to find the best possible solution with it. So the nice thing is with Sheldon's Inc. Owning MEPS and Mr. Twister, we have that opportunity to communicate with Mr. Twister on a regular basis. So we can actually pick and choose, you know, colors and get them exactly where we need them to be with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nick, one thing I have to ask you, too, it's that break in the catalog page. Listen, go to themeps.com, check it out, page 9. This is the Comet Combo, South Jersey. I know we have the Weeds. Again, you're fishing Iona Lake, Swedesboro Lake, the Gahanse River, the Morris River, and some people. No, it's not the Maurice River, people. It's the Morris River, Pacon Lake. They're in Tuckerton, right there on Route 9. The Weeds are coming up. They're going to be up. They're going to be up. They're going to be up. And this, always the treble, always snags the Weeds. With this, it's going to slide right through. Nick, the differentiation, Comet Combo, Black Fury Combo. Difference in price, pretty much. Difference in tail color, blades with the dots, the fluorescent dots. The Black Fury is salmonicide, man. What's going on?
So as far as price point goes, these are very similar price points. The big difference between the Black Fury Combo and the Comet Combo is actually the Black Fury line has all black blades.
Right.
And then as you can see, if you look up the Black Fury, it's got the dots in fluorescent colors. So you can choose between white, chartreuse, fluorescent orange, yellow, hot pink, or a hot fire tiger style. And basically, it's a very similar lure, the same style blade. It just gives you a different option to throw. One thing that I would recommend for the Black Fury Combo is these things are absolutely lethal early morning and late at night, sun up, sun down, or overcast conditions.
Right. Oh, my God.
Those are all going to be fantastic opportunities to throw these. To be honest with you, you're going to catch a boatload of fish with either option.
Listen, this is what's getting me, because most of these R&D guys and communications guys, they're busy R&Ding and communicating. Sounds like Colbeck actually gets a chance to fish. Hey, man, in Wisconsin, the Root River, for steelhead, Tom P. hooked two and lost two and was ridiculed off the river. But, you know, I digress. Okay, let's get to the new intro, the Meps Bucktail. Listeners, Bucktail. People think Bucktail, just South Jersey, the Bucktail Flounder. Okay, Bucktail Flounder. Hey, man, Bucktail Largemouth, Bucktail Crappies, Bucktail Bluegills, Bucktail White Perch, Bucktail Yellow Perch, Bucktail pretty much anything. But again, Nick, Meps is a spinner company. What made the decision, let's get in the Bucktail business, man? Go.
You know, a lot of it has to do with our pro staff, honestly. They came to us, and they were the ones telling us that you guys are already so advanced in the Bucktail dressing game, where why don't you get involved with something a little bit out of your comfort zone with the spinners and try to get into the Bucktail jig game? And, you know, it's something where it definitely takes a little bit of leaning on your pro staff, getting their opinions, and then obviously with the pro staff, I mean, getting a wide variety of opinions. We're not just looking for the walleye fishermen. We want every single, you know, fisherman that this lure is targeted for. So it takes a lot of back and forth communication with that. But at the same time, when there's a need in the market and we feel like we have a product with top quality, there's no reason not to enter the game, even though we're not known as a jig company.
Okay, full disclosure, people. Last year, a prototype here, the BKBR, Black Brown. Tom P., lovely D. Marie up there by, on the Delaware River by, what's that? By the Deus area there in the water gap. And boom, 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 with a little leech on there, little leech. One was a power leech. Okay, I'll give that. The other one, or a gulp leech. The other one's a live leech. Mary Mother God by Dingman's Ferry. Did we whack the smallies? What are you using? Meps. That ain't no, Nick, listen to me. One guy said at the ramp, who are you? I can't say BS or whatever. Hey, Meps, that's a bucktail. And there you go. So you guys have crossed the paradigm, Nick. So where does it go from here?
You know, I mean, as far as where we go from here, it's just depending on the feedback we get from pro staff, from customers, everything like that. Honestly, I mean, there's anything that's possible at this point because we are a fishing brand and we feel like we have top quality components. So why not try to push the envelope and try to see what we can all accomplish? You know, one thing with this Meps Bucktail jig that I don't want to overlook either is in the middle, it's a two-color bucktail, top and bottom. Yep. But in the middle of that bucktail, we have an extended piece of flashaboo that is actually, I would say, about half inch, three-quarters inch longer than
the bucktail. That was a tiebreaker. When we were up there, that was a tiebreaker because other guys were, you know, bouncing jigs. That was the tiebreaker, dude.
Yeah, you know, and what people don't realize, too, is because this flash spool is extended past the bucktail, it gives a completely different action to what the bucktail is giving.
Exactly, man.
So, I mean, it hypnotizes the fish almost when it's falling down. If you let it sit on the bottom of the water, on the bottom of any, you know, piece of structure, that thing stands straight up, and I cannot fathom to joke or anything like that, but this flashaboo, it almost splits in the middle, and in some cases, it almost looks like it's a crawfish wanting to kind of tussle with a fish or something like that. But it's very seductive for any type of fish to look at.
Nick, it just worked. But listen, besides the walleyes, we had the rock bass, we had the smallies. You know what? It was just a devastating little bait of bucktail up to half from eighth ounce to quarter ounce. But Nick, closing this out, I'm giving it up. People, I am giving it up. And a shout out to long retired MEPS man Jimmy Martinson. Called me first way back when. Tommy P, check out this new Thunderbug. The hell's a Thunderbug, man? What are you guys getting, the plastic baits? No, this really weird spinner blade that it's going to kick trout ass. Not only did it kick trout ass, Nick, smallies, rock bass, yellow perch, the gamut across the board. Listeners, the MEPS Thunderbug, again, getting it here in South Jersey, extremely difficult, just not around. Nick, this Thunderbug, with the tail or without, is a trout-catching, fish-catching, white perch wiping out monster, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do we go about it? How do we go about it? Nick, this actually looks like, we're adults here. It looks like a girl leaning over almost like a breast line, like double wings there. Nick, this blade, does it do something different in the water? Run a regular MEPS through, run a rooster tail through, run this, run, put on a Thunderbug on the little clip, Thunderbug, boom! They just couldn't resist it. What's up?
You know, the big difference with the Thunderbug, Tom, is the fact that it's a different shape blade. Like you said, it's supposed to replicate the wings of a bug, and that different shape offers a completely different vibration, a completely different flash in the water. Yeah. So those fish are kind of getting triggered by the different vibrations, noises, and it gets to the point where it just drives them crazy to where they have to attack the bait. One thing, too, that I want to say is just because this is a different shaped blade does not mean it affects the performance of the lure. It is in perfect balance, and this thing is a guaranteed fish catcher, especially like you mentioned, trout is one of the great ones.
Nick, I know it's a Thunderbug, especially listeners in shallower water, anywhere from these pools, riffles, anywhere from 12 inches to maybe 18, 24 inches, this Thunderbug. And Nick, what I noticed when I cast across, quartering across upstream, bring it down, once it hits that little area, so that I retrieve a little bit, that double blade still spins like a mother. The trout can't stand it, man.
Yeah, and that...
Bada bing, an Italian, Nick, an Italian. Bada bing, bada boom.
You know, one of the big reasons why our blades do spin so well, Tom, is because we have a patented clevis. It's actually a folded brass clevis, and that is, honestly, it's one of the biggest factors in why our blades, when they hit the water, they immediately start spinning. And honestly, a lot of competing inline spinners cannot say that due to not having as good of quality as a clevis as we do carry.
And Nick, we're up against a hard break here. God, going on 20 minutes. Once I start talking trout and spinners, people, I'm out of my mind. In a couple of weeks, Nick, we have New Jersey's Muskie Inc. chapter coming on, and MEPS is synonymous with muskies, the double blade flashaboo, the double blade muskie marabou. You're based in the Midwest. You are in muskie country. Balance, trout, panfish, and muskellunge. How do you do it, bro?
Well, you know, it's tough because you have to find a happy balance between what type of fish you want to target that day. We have, like you mentioned, small streams for trout. We have big Great Lakes to fish for smallmouth, a plethora of muskie, pike, anything you want to name. So it gets tough. The hardest part is finding out what do you want to do, where do you want to go fishing for the day. So, I mean, I'm not complaining about having all these options available to us, that's for sure.
Gary Swigert, Nick Colbeck, he is the communications manager and just one hell of a guy. And listeners, I was in the industry many, many decades, okay? He is one of the young guns coming up, and he knows what he's doing because he fishes what he talks about and what he researches. Okay, Nick, give that MEPS website, please. Phone number, how do we go? Go.
So if you would like to visit our website, it is www.mepps.com. That is spelled MEPPS.com. Otherwise, if you're old school, you don't want to look at the website, feel free to give us a call. Our corporate number is 715-623-2382. And our corporate office is located in Anago, Wisconsin. If you'd like, you can call corporate toll-free at 800-637-7700.
I bagged you, Colbeck. The Mepps Comet with that little minnow. You're killing me, man. What a trout bass catcher that is, all the way up to musky size. Availability in this area, Nick, was tough last year. What's the deal with that?
You know, during COVID, ever since it hit, it is hard to keep things on the shelf. We have the ladies in assembly in the back that have been working for us have been working so hard, literally have been working overtime for the past year trying to get these lures cranked out, assembled and cranked out so everyone can enjoy fishing with them. I do want to let our customers know, if you do have the opportunity to look at a store, we recommend check out our local dealers. If you can't find them in the store, please visit our website. Every single Mepps lure that you can imagine in stock, it's available.
Listeners, again, trout season coming up April 1st, April 8th, catch and release. It's going to be good. After April 10th on, you can keep them. The Mepps Comet Combo is the headliner for this segment. The Mepps Spinner with a little Mr. Twister grub on there, 50% minimizing the snags, and you will catch trout. Nick, you take care, man. God spares. Are you going to be back east anytime soon?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where the fishing takes us. But if there's an invite from Tom P., maybe we'll have to make our way over there.
Oh, buddy, you got it going. Okay, you take care with Nick. Thanks so much. You have a great spring season. Talk to you soon, brother.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
We'll
take care.
Bye-bye.
So what is Talk with a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk with a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk with a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
It's the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event at Rossi Honda. What better vehicle to put in your garage than one of the best cars on the road? Lease a 2021 Honda Civic LX for $149 a month. Put the 2021 Honda Accord LX in your garage for only $199 a month with free oil changes for up to 5 years at Rossi Honda or online at RossiHonda.com. We treat you better. Period.
See dealer for details.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Let's close it out on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of March 20th and 21st. It was the Ides this past week, so we have on the line with it one closeout fishery report. As always, the dependable Captain Dave, the Rave, Shoal, Absecon Bay Sports Center, 81 Natalie Terrace in Absecon. White perch, striped bass, Captain Dave is on it all. Sorry, Dave. I get too excited. How you doing, brother?
doing great. At least today, the sun's out. The temperature's on its way up.
Thursday night and Friday, man, they were biatches, don't you think?
Yeah, well, it was just ugly then. It was, you know, chilled you to the bones with that cold damp air. But I tell you what, Don't let this cabin fever get you too much. But then again, I jumped the gun last Monday. I missed the weekend, and I said, you know what? I had guys supposed to fish. We gave it a try, but
right, yeah,
too much wind. But the middle of the week, I did have some really good reports up in the Mullica River. The perch are on the move. The big ones are still there, but they got joined by all their younger cousins and siblings. So,
yeah.
So you're gonna have to push your way through a bunch of minimum size keepers or throwbacks to catch them jumbos, but they're still there. And I had some really good reports on still short stripers, but they will go. And I just remember we just got the word this week, if you want to keep a a striped bass, you have to use the circle hooks or use lures.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. Get find the rules and read them, because it's serious, but it's not bad. They'll eat the circle hooks. Catch them up.
Okay, Captain Dave. One last thing. Your prediction, Shoal, when the Back Bay fluke bite will start, middle of April, end of April. It's going to get warm this weekend through next weekend. On next week, a lot of rain coming supposedly, but getting warmer by the day, Dave. What do you think for the flatties?
I think there's fish in there. The bait's coming in. Lots of bunker headed up. Lots of stuff going on. There'll be flounder inside. But you know what? There's always a few big ones, but my my favorite time, because then we're allowed to catch them. But but the best fishing, no matter what anybody says, don't jump out of the game too early. That middle of July, that first half of July is the fantastic. That's when these bays are fullest. Small ones, big ones, they're all here, and it's just a load of fun. But fish every day until then. That's my motto.
Okay, Captain Dave, give me that Facebook website, please.
Yeah, well, just look up Facebook. Just search Appsecan Bay. At Appsecan Bay, you'll find me. I still got everything on that, appsecanbay.com. We're all about Appsecan Bay here, and they're going to dredge the channel out here too. So keep an ear on that, and you'll get an easy shot out into this waterway.
Dave, hold on a second. Yeah, what do you got? Whoa, this is from there? Wow. Hey, Shoal, a second report. Yeah. A delivery man, didn't want to name the company, was dragged down by an 8-pound little white dog in the vicinity of Natalie Terrace. Whoa. Could that have been Sugar?
Well, it could have been. I don't know. Did she have long hair or short hair? Yesterday she looked like a miniature polar bear, but today she looks like a chihuahua, so I don't know what's up.
Okay, Cap, you take care, man. See you next week. We'll see, brother.
Okay, bye-bye.
That'll do it for this week on Racket Fin Radio with me, Tom B. The Twixt and the Tween. A lot of stuff happening. Get out there, enjoy that cold weather. Woo. Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, today a little bit. It's going to be nice. Rain next week. So what? The fish are already here. Get out there, enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Wow, I don't know if the Democrats hate that. Do they really? See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.
95.5 FM and